This is the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast.
I think what makes you stand out is meaningful conversations. I think that if you want to buy more properties and if you want to help more homeowners, you have to find a way to have more meaningful conversations with people. The ways we do that are, we have much more opportunity to do this now with social media. And I think that if you aren't having conversations and if you don't have a social media presence, that you're losing revenue.
You're listening to the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast, where we discuss tangible tips, tricks, and best practices for becoming financially free. The show is designed for people who want to either start real estate investing or for those who want to scale their real estate business.
This episode is sponsored by Infinite Road Destinations, the smartest short-term rental property management group I know, and the group that manages my properties. This is a company that's very close to my heart, run by two of the smartest, most attentive people I know, Claire Rosenberg and Alex Brashears. Claire and I first met when we worked together at NetApp, where she was a top performer and rose crazy fast in the company. And Alex is just one of the most active, genuine people I know in the real estate space. The two of them together bring a blended background of project management, software design, and extensive experience with automation tools and virtual assistants. Through these experiences, they optimize any property to deliver a hands-off experience to owners while delivering the highest occupancy and highest daily rates possible. You guys know I would not recommend anything to anyone in this group that I do not fully endorse or think that is the absolute best product, and this company is that. And like I said before, this is the exact company and people that manage my Airbnbs. If you don't believe me, here are a few of the other tools and services that come along with the team: listing optimization, guest support and approval, communication and reservations, key exchange and management, dynamic pricing, welcome kit creation, listing advertising and marketing, vendor management, including cleaners, maintenance, handyman, runners, and monthly property reports. To learn more, check out shorttermmadeeasy.com or email info@shorttermmadeeasy.com. And on the form, just mention that you heard it here or mention my name. So give it a try. You have nothing to lose, and they offer a satisfaction guarantee. And I assure you guys, you will not be disappointed.
Hey everyone, welcome to another Women Wednesday. We have Stephanie Betters with us. Such a cool last name. I love that. So Stephanie has done so many incredible achievements. She does 200 deals a year. She has a CRM company, a marketing company. Her background is that she is a nurse practitioner. She is growing her company called Left Main Real Estate, or REI. It's a Salesforce CRM for real estate investors, growing her new build operations, COO training for other businesses, personal health and wellness. She is just crushing it. A girl boss, definitely. Well, I'm super excited for you to get into today's episode. And without any further ado, Stephanie Betters.
Well, hello. We have Stephanie Betters on, and I got her permission. I'm calling her Steph. So just so everyone knows there. But how are you doing on this Wednesday morning?
I'm doing so good. How are you?
It's happening. We got here. We had a Zoom link issue, but we're here, and that is what matters. So happy that you are here today, and I'm excited to dive deeper into your story, Steph. So yeah. I'd love for you to start with who Steph is, how you started in real estate, and we'll kind of just go from there.
Oh, diving right into the identity questions.
We're diving right in there. We go right to it. I'm not a big small talk person, so I just get right to it.
I don't even know who I am. No.
Who is Steph? Who is she? Who are you?
I think I'm a little complicated. That's actually really funny because, you know, thinking about identity and real estate, it kind of comes up a lot throughout the journey. But this whole journey started for me in 2007. My husband and I met in undergrad, little tiny babies who got married right out of undergrad. And kind of typical college student, had no money, a lot of college debt, newlywed, trying to figure out what to do with our lives. And my husband, it was his idea. I will give him credit for that. He wanted to start investing in real estate, and he wanted to flip a house. All the shows on TV made it look really easy. You just buy a foreclosed house, you live in it, you fix it up, and you sell it, you make a ton of money, right? that was the hook. So that ended up what we did. You know, he found this foreclosed house and he somehow convinced me to buy it. It was not what I had imagined being carried across the threshold into, you know, it was moldy. It was terrible. So what we did was we went in there, we demoed the property, got all of the mold stuff out, made it safe, and then moved in and renovated it. It took us about a year and a half. And we sold that thing like right before the bottom dropped off in the real estate market. So we got very, very lucky, sold it. We made a good profit. And then we went to grad school. I'm a nurse practitioner now. He's a physician assistant. We went to grad school on Long Island, and this was throughout the real estate crash. So we did not invest while we were there in grad school. We kind of wrote it out. And then when we graduated, we decided we would pick a place to live that had really good weather, that our parents would be interested in moving to at some point to retire, and had a really good real estate market. So we did a little market analysis and decided that Charlotte was where we wanted to go. We had some really cool trends when we compared Charlotte to Raleigh and when we compared mm-hmm. Charlotte to Jacksonville, Florida. So we kind of felt like it was just a little bit behind those markets. So we could see kind of what would happen in the future if it would continue to be similar to those markets. So we did that. We moved in Charlotte. We initially rented and then we built a house. And the idea was we built that house in a location where we thought it would appreciate. So that was kind of like the bet we took on ourselves. We're like, okay, we did this market analysis. We're picking a nice house to live in now, not a fixer-upper this time, because that was the deal. It's like, I'm never living in it again. I have post-traumatic stress from like sheetrock dust and no doors on the bathrooms and things like that. And at that time too, we had a daughter. So I was like, we just can't, you know, we can't live through that right now. So we bought this house and we thought, you know, if we're correct, the market will appreciate in the next couple of years and then we'll have enough equity that we can take a home equity line of credit out. And then that'll be kind mm-hmm. of our nest egg that we use to start with. So that's exactly what happened. About 2-3 years later, the market appreciated. We were able to take a HELOC out and then we bought our first rental property. We bought our first flip and we just started flipping. We raised private money from some colleagues at the hospital and some personal connections. And we, you know, started flipping and everything that we made, we put back into the business and we just kept on rolling that. And, you know, eventually our flipping crews were behind and we couldn't flip more than a few properties at once without the wheel starting to shake. So then we started wholesaling and, you know, then we got into, then that kind of accelerated our business even more. And, you know, it's grown quite a bit since then. And it's funny you say like, well who are you?
Who are you?
I know. So, you know, I'm a nurse practitioner. I have a really hard time separating from that identity. I do cardiothoracic surgery and I love it. It's a big part of who I am. It's a big part of my passion. And I'm at a point now in my real estate career that being a nurse practitioner is about a tenth of what I could make outside of medicine. So I kind of come back to that. Like, do I keep doing this? Should I keep doing this? Is this, what am I doing here? And so I kind of fight that identity a little bit. And I always return to like, no, that's a big part of who I am. And I love medicine and I can't leave that profession. And, you know, I'm a real estate investor. We have a wonderful company, Better Path Homes, now in Charlotte, which is mature and doing, you know, 200 plus deals a year. We're wholesaling. We're doing new builds, spec homes. And a couple other like really cool things have come off of that company. We've launched a marketing company in 2016 called Social Media REI, which specifically targets motivated sellers on Facebook. That kind of came out of the marketing efforts of Better Path Homes, trying to reach more people and trying to find some competitive edge that was successful. And then other people, you know, kind of wanted us to do the same thing for those companies. So that company is there. We had another company called Left Main REI, which is a Salesforce based CRM that launched in 2020. Again, another kind of child birthed off of a problem of Better Path Homes and not having good systems and not having a stable CRM. So that company's going and going well. So yeah, it's just kind of Well, who are you? I'm all the things. And then I'm I'm a mother and I'm a wife. So and the who I am, I think, is a little bit complex.
It sure is. We are complex humans, right? Well, what a mouthful, right? Like, such a girl boss. And I love that, you know, you are creating all of these companies. If it's not done the right way, I'm just going to create it, right? So I love that mentality there. And as far as, there's so many things to kind of pick into of your background. I am, you know, this obviously being a real estate podcast, you know, we have a ton of syndicators and flippers, and I love to kind of make it, you know, a variety of what we haven't talked about. I think a big thing now, you know, you have a company of targeting motivated sellers on Facebook, right? So, you know, especially during this time, I mean, the real estate market is ruthless, you know, as we know, people are putting in 10, 20 offers, they're going 50,000 over asking, you know, like, how is a simple person supposed to compete, right? How, I'd love to learn more about, you know, how it works to target motivated sellers, and why, you know, your process is something that people should be using.
Sure. So I think what makes you stand out is meaningful conversations. Think that if you want to buy more properties and if you want to help more homeowners, you have to find a way to have more meaningful conversations with people. The ways we do that are, we have much more opportunity to do this now with social media. And I think that if you aren't having conversations and if you don't have a social media presence, that you're losing revenue. Mm-hmm. I think that the unique opportunity to have people feel that they know you quite personally, and start conversations based on content that you've put out there that is essentially demonstrating who you are as a person and who you are as a business. Essentially, this is your brand presence, you know? So people are on social media, they're consuming videos or consuming content, and it's up to us to put out the proper brand image and idea out there so people can consume that. And then the reality is that they watch these videos of you, they read about what you post about, they read about who you are, and then they like you, or they decide that they like you. And then you start essentially having, you know, followers or people who like you. And then when they have a problem, like they have a home to sell, they go to you because they know, like, and trust you. So, right. You know, there's two facets here. Having ads that appeal to your market, your demographic, and outreach so that you can get new people into your funnel. And then having a business page that really supports your brand image so that when people connect with you or look into who you are as a company, they find something that they like and that resonates with them. This makes it a lot easier to kind of cut through defense mechanisms and get to what people really need for their real estate problem. And the reality is even though the market is really hot right now, people still have unique issues that need help being solved. You know, they have the personal drama, they have the inherited properties, they have the divorce, they have the tangles, you know, in their lives. They have repair trouble. Even in a hot market, you know, you definitely still need to appeal to the homeowner that needs to get a loan on the property. So if there are just a tremendous amount of repairs, roof damage, et cetera, that limits your buyer's pool, even if you put it on the MLS. So those sellers are looking for ease of sale and a guaranteed sale, you know, and then there's also people who have financial difficulty with pre-foreclosure and foreclosure, or, you know, juggling multiple properties, or maybe a landlord has a couple homes that the tenants aren't paying rent in, and they're kind of pinched now in a situation too. So the reality is, even though the market is hot, the problems still exist, and we have to be better about reaching these people and having those meaningful conversations with them so we can actually get to the problem. And then honestly, doing business feels really good. Everybody's happy about it, you know, and then you're reaching your audience in a really meaningful way.
Sure. No, of course. And I think everyone's kind of like, oh, is this a robot? Who is this? Who's reaching out to me? Like, do they even know me? Why do they care? I am curious, you know, especially just like cold calling. You know, I was in sales development. I did not like cold calling, right? People say public speaking is like above death, right? So,
basically what's kind of, you know, someone is, for example, you were talking about wholesaling, right? So for wholesaling, for example, someone is reaching out to a homeowner. We try to make things, you know, really tangible where people can walk away from the show and take action there. So what is either, you know, messaging look like, if someone's communicating over Facebook Messenger or text messaging or a phone call, maybe walking through one of those scenarios of someone reaching out to a motivated seller and having that conversation of trying to win that, to get a wholesale deal.
Yeah. So essentially to start with, you know, how can I help? You know, if someone's reached out to you, that's a really great indicator of some motivation, right? They have a problem they're looking to solve. So I try to open it up pretty broad. So how can I help? And they say, you know, I want to sell my house. Okay, tell me a little bit about the house, you know, and then you get the address, you can get some basic information and kind of verify, okay, I see that's a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house, about 1500 square feet. Is that about right? Yep. Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about it. You know, does it need any work? Is this where you live currently, or is there a tenant in there? And then based on those answers, you could say, okay, if there's a tenant in there, what are they paying for rent, and are they paying on time? And I'm kind of sussing out a little bit of the motivation there. And if this is somewhere that they live, be like, okay, great. Do you have a place that you're looking to move already? Do you have a contract on a new house? And what I'm trying to get at with that is timing. You know, are they just looking for an offer on their property because they were curious about the value, or do they have kind of like a next step lined up and they're ready to, and are they ready to move on? You know, so I try to have as many open-ended questions as I can after I verify just really basic details about the house. If I verify basic details of the house, I can kind of get my numbers together. But what I really want to get to is that motivation and that timeline. Mm-hmm. And that will happen relatively easily if you ask those open questions and you're real. You're like mm-hmm. talking like being, you know. Sometimes I like to throw things in there like, you know, do you have any plans for this weekend? Are you trying to show this weekend, or is it today better? Kind of, I try to make some specific questions, especially with online messaging, because I want them to know that I'm a real person, not a bot.
Right.
You know what I mean? So having, and sometimes using emojis will help a little bit, depending on how the vibe is or the messaging, but I just try to make it personal.
Right. No, I remember I was doing lease options for a little bit, and I remember someone was like, I'm so glad that you've put I put my full name like in the text message. And they're like, I called you just because you had your name in the text message. Right. Then I remember someone was like, oh, you know, just to test that you're not a bot, like, what's your favorite chocolate? And I was like, Hershey's. I guess I like Godiva too, but no, I guess like, and then like going through your process, I know, you know, with people with wholesaling, you know, they'll have someone who's an appointment setter. And then from there, if it's a great lead, they'll send it over to someone to, you know, qualify it more and dig into the numbers, and then, you know, have someone go over there to take pictures. What's kind of your process from kind of high level from start to finish of you're contacting a motivated seller to the end of, you know, getting your spread?
Yeah. So we have a lead manager who will make initial contact either on Facebook or via phone call if they're answering the phone. And then they'll go through the script. Once they qualify the lead, it gets handed off to an acquisition specialist or a property specialist, a salesperson essentially. And then that person will either have a phone appointment and go through all these things over the phone and see if we can get the contract on that call, or they'll transition that phone appointment into an in-person appointment. And it depends, you know, with COVID, we did primarily everything over the phone, but now that the world is opening up a little bit, more in-person appointments are happening. But that salesperson would do that. We usually have a two-call close, and the two-call close will be either 100% virtual or first call and then in-person appointment. Mm-hmm. After the contract is signed, then it goes to our transaction coordinator. So she'll, you know, do all the paperwork and all the coordination between the seller and the closing attorney. And simultaneously, our disposition manager is vetting the deal and sending that deal out to our buyers list. And then, you know, she'll assign a buyer, and then that buyer gets hooked up with our transaction coordinator again. And the kind of the back end of that transaction is complete. And then we go to the closing table. Takes us about 20 something days on average.
Okay. Yeah, no, it seems like it's a very tight process, and that's what you need. Like you're saying, you're doing 200 deals a year, right? How did you get to that point of such a tight process where everything's in place? You have all of your people, everyone knows what they're doing. It's just incredible to have that scale to 200 deals.
Surprisingly, it doesn't take a ton different to do 10 deals a year as it does to do 200. It's really just a matter of clean processes and systems. But it's essentially the same number of staff. I don't have any additional staff now that I did then. With maybe the exception of an additional cold caller, just because cold callers kind of burn out and we don't want them cold calling so many hours a day. You know what I mean? But we have other marketing channels too, of course, including Facebook and Facebook Messenger and a lot of online stuff. But that's literally the biggest difference. Everything else, all the other team members are the same. So I will say that with some company maturity and just being around longer, like people stay and people enjoy the culture, and then you don't have to keep retraining people. And that definitely helps your systems perform better. But, you know, my approach to the company has always been from an operations standpoint. And how do we simplify? How do we streamline? How can I be more efficient? I'm really inspired by corporate. It sounds so silly, but I'm really inspired by McDonald's. I look at that company, and this is a global company, like dealing with however many currencies and complications and countries and politics, et cetera. And this is a $1 billion industry that is essentially run by teenagers.
Right.
Like what, yeah. You know, it's, and so the reason for that is their systems are honed in, you know, like they have their systems, they have their processes, they remove decision makers as much as they can. They streamline, you know, they streamline what happens from A to B. And then look what they can do. They can operate in you know, multiple countries and have an average age of an employee of 20 years old. You know, that's a commitment to like efficiency and simplicity. So I've tried to take that same approach to our company, you know, and, you know, to be honest, it's usually the owners who complicate that. You know, like we kind of like get in the mix and like cause drama and cause chaos because we're trying to like keep our hands in everything, you know? So I think having a great onboarding process and a job role very well articulated and the process map of like how things happen, then you can kind of remove yourself and stop making things more and more chaotic. You know what I mean? So long story short, I think it comes down to that efficiency and that like Six Sigma type approach to how do we make things easy? How do we make things simple?
Right. No, I think that's such a great point. It is funny. It's being run by, you know, teenagers, like you said, right? Mm-hmm. And it's all about having that process that is like a first grader is what I always like to say, right? Yeah. Step by step. And once we have that process down, it's standardized, and then it's just being replicated all over across the globe. Right. And I love that you brought up that, you know, regardless if we're doing 10 deals or 200 deals, it doesn't really make so much of a difference. We have our process down. And then, like you said, we just keep going and moving there. And you brought up an interesting, I want to kind of pivot. You brought up an interesting point. You're a nurse practitioner. People always talk about the buzzword of financial freedom and I'm not working anymore. Right. So do you, at a certain point, do you see yourself breaking away from the nurse practitioner life and just, getting your income from all of the real estate streams, or what does that look like for you?
It's such a good question. And I don't know that I really have an answer for that, but I will tell you that I am free. I choose to go to the hospital, and I choose to seek impact in everything that I do in my life. You know what I mean? And I think when I look at who I am and what I'm capable of, or what I will do in my life, like I will always have a full plate. You know what I mean? Like I'm never going to be on the beach like for 8 hours a day and doing nothing. Like that's never really the goal for me, to do nothing. I always want to do something, and I always want to feel like I'm having an impact either on my family or on my friends, my colleagues, the industry. I just want whatever I'm doing to be meaningful, you know? So I definitely get that bucket filled by medicine and going there and caring for people and providing that care. You know what I mean? So that is why I'm still doing it, is because it fills that impact. Is it a financial, does it make financial sense? No, it makes no financial sense to do that, to be honest, but that's not what I'm doing it for anymore. That's why I did it to begin with. You know, that's why I pursued medicine to begin with. Of course I impact and people and caring for people and science is interesting, but at the very end of the day, like it was a good career, right? And I wanted, because of all those things, because it paid well and because of all the impact things. But unfortunately, there's no security in just that job, right? Like I am dispensable, right? As much as I don't want to be, I am. And anything can change in medicine or the practice. And, you know, I could be terminated, right? I could lose it. Mm-hmm. Now, thankfully, I have a wonderful practice and I don't think that would ever happen, but there's no long-term security. I will work until I retire, right? That I will, it's active income. I will get a return on whatever I put in there. So that's why we sought out real estate investing, is to have passive income and to have things coming in when we were sleeping and we would have a return on essentially time in general, not necessarily time worked. Mm-hmm. And now we're at that point, you know, that's happening. We have multiple streams of income and I have more passive income than I have active. But I'm still like a living, breathing human and I need to do something, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why I was laughing at your identity question. Because it's not as simple as you think, right? Like, why do we do the things that we do?
Right.
I think in the end, you just seek meaningful interactions with people. You seek joy. You seek more than just financial stuff. And that's kind of where I'm at right now in my life and in my career. It's not about money anymore. I've got plenty of that. And now it's about everything else.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of it. You know what you want and you are going to decide what you want to do with your life. And you don't have to figure that out now. And it, like you said, you have plenty of it. It's not about the money. If you want to, you know, do the nurse practitioner, if you want to be with your kids, if you want to do real estate one day, you have the choice. And that's kind of what the beauty of it all is. As we're kind of tying off here, towards the end of our episode, how can people best connect with you and anything? I know we've talked throughout the episode of all the wonderful things that you're doing, but just once again, I'd love to continue to promote you. So if you can say how people can best connect with you and anything that people should check out.
Sure. Yeah. So you can connect with me on Facebook. I'm there. You can email me, Stephanie@leftmainrei.com or Stephanie@socialmediarei.com. Those are our two companies that I'm super, super proud of on top of our real estate company, our Facebook marketing for real estate investors and our CRM based on Salesforce for real estate investors. So you can reach out to me on those email addresses, or you can just ping me on Facebook. I'm out there and I'd be happy to connect with everybody.
Wonderful. Yes. On Facebook. I love that because everyone's either calling or texting, but I love that idea of Facebook Messenger. It's another great alternative method to get a hold of
people. Instagram too. At Steph Fetters. You can follow me on Instagram.
Go slide in those DMs. I'm kidding. Yeah. All righty. Well, Steph, such a pleasure to have you on today. I learned a ton and I love just talking with you and following your journey and just continuing success for you.
Thank you so much, Claire. My daughter's name is Claire, by the way. So it's great.
Oh, I love that. With an E, C, or with an I?
Yep, with an I.
C-L-A-I-R-E. Okay, got it. Yep. Yes, I know some people are like C-L-A-R-E. Okay, very cool. Yep. It's a great, great name. Well, wonderful. We'll have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, you millennial millionaire. Are you looking for help getting to the next level in real estate? Are you looking for accountability and strategy to achieve your goals? If so, Jonathan is now taking on one-on-one students and opening a few spots in his private mastermind. It's affordable and welcome to everyone. If you had any questions or think you may need a boost, send Jonathan a message on Facebook or email at johnjfarber@outlook.com.